And welcome to the Drew Allen Show. This is Drew Allen. Well, on Thursday, we were treated to another crystal clear difference between Donald Trump and Joe Biden. The juxtaposition and the contrast could not be more clear yet again. And of course, it was a tale of two presidents and a tale of two Americas, in fact. On the one hand, you had Joe Biden showing up for what was billed as a grassroots fundraiser in New York City at Radio City Music Hall in Midtown Manhattan. And nothing says grassroots like $500,000 a ticket, right? Am I right? And then on the other hand, you had Donald Trump, who went to Long Island to attend the wake of a slain NYPD officer. Now, a few things first about this fundraiser, if you will. I mean, obviously, it's hilarious, the desperate efforts by the Biden propaganda machine to present him and the Democrat Party as that which they are not. They are the party of the elite. And yet they would have you believe they're the party of the common American, the hardworking blue-collar American citizen. And of course, that couldn't be further from the truth. And, you know, if you look at this and actually go ahead and pull up, I think it is actually cut two, or just play it while I talk. But, you know, cut two here is perfect. You had this bizarre, almost, you know, in Disneyland, they have the animatronic display of the president in the Hall of Presidents. Well, here they are coming up from the ground, raising, I guess, from the depths of hell is what was happening to join us here and plague humanity yet again on stage. But it's a bizarre situation. And of course, it looks like actually it's an Obama fundraiser and Joe Biden and Clinton, of course, got an invitation. But it's embarrassing. And you see that actually even somebody like Barack Obama, who, right, you know, he obviously experienced the height of his power in one sense. He's more powerful than ever now because he, of course, is directing the meat puppet, Joe Biden, which, by the way, we'll explain momentarily when I get into it why Barack Obama is so eager to have Joe Biden reelected, because, of course, Barack Obama wants to serve his fourth term. He doesn't want to miss out on that. He needs four terms to properly destroy and eviscerate the United States of America. Even three terms with Joe Biden right now was not enough to get the job done. But it was humiliating. They put on their, I mean, they're just so out of touch. The sunglasses on Joe Biden are not cool. He is not Tom Cruise from Top Gun. He never has been, never was, never will be. And yet, this effort, you know, to call him, and he called himself actually in that clip, I think, Dark Brandon. Dark Brandon is here. I mean, it's just like these people are, the American people are laughing at them, as is the rest of the world. And these people don't get it. They have no clue that they are the joke. And anyway, but Barack Obama there, all three of those presidents, you know, the effeminate Barack Obama, the credibly accused rapist Bill Clinton, and of course Joe Biden, whose daughter accused him of showering inappropriately with her at a young age, which may explain why they featured Lizzo as their entertainment. I mean, maybe P. Diddy, Barack Obama's best friend, you know, maybe he wasn't available for obvious reasons, and so they had to go with Lizzo. Or perhaps Lizzo was the discount performer because, of course, she was fired from doing the halftime show at the Super Bowl a couple of years ago in 2023 because her own former dancers accused her of fat shaming and sexual harassment. And so, you know, maybe it's apropos that Lizzo was there entertaining the kings of sexual harassment at this Democrat fundraiser. But, you know, there are serious things to talk about in terms of the juxtaposition here. Now, obviously, this fundraiser was going on up to $500,000, I believe it was, per ticket, which is crazy. But what you saw on the other hand was Donald Trump, who went to Long Island to attend this wake of the slain NYPD officer. And he lost his son is turning one. He leaves behind a wife and a nearly one-year-old son. And I've got to tell you, I actually, this is no Joe Biden to make it about me, but only to say that I have a daughter that turned one today, Saturday, in fact. It's her first birthday. And, you know, this kind of thing does move me. It should move every American. But to think about the fact that today I was not here for my daughter's birthday, to think that I wouldn't be here for any future birthdays, to see her grow up, that she would be deprived of a father because of, frankly, policies that are put forward by the Democrat Party that lead to this type of tragedy in our country. And I'm going to go out of order here a little bit. I want you to cue up cut three. This was Trump at the wake of this slain NYPD police officer. But I want you to listen. I cut it down to like 45, 46 seconds, I think. But I want you to listen to a real president speak.
They're not given the respect. The police are the greatest people we have. There's nothing and there's nobody like them. And this should never happen. I just visited with a very beautiful wife that now doesn't have her husband. Stephanie was just incredible. Their child, brand new, beautiful baby, sitting there, innocent as can be, that doesn't know how his life has been changed. But the Diller family will, you'll never be the same. You can never be the same. And we have to stop it. We have to stop it. We have to get back to law and order. We have to do a lot of things differently because this is not working. This is happening too often. It's an honor to be here.
I got to tell you, the 2024 presidential election ought to be the easiest decision any American has ever had to make in many ways in terms of electing anyone to be our president. You have on one hand Joe Biden, who ignores the chaos, destruction, and tragedy that he is directly responsible for, who goes and chooses to mingle with the elite in America while the world burns. He doesn't offer any solutions. He refuses to change course. He offers no genuine sympathy, remorse, or love for the American people. And then you have Donald Trump, who spends his time when he's not having to show up in courtrooms because he's being persecuted by Joe Biden and the Democrat Party with lawfare, of course. Well, he takes the time to show up for this family, the family of Jonathan Diller, who I think was 31 years old. And I just, you know, there's no teleprompter there. That's sincere. And that's who Donald Trump is. All of the hatred that's out there for Donald Trump, all the complaints about his personality or his bullying the bullies or things that you might not like or things you wish could exist that don't anymore. Like, I wish he was more like Ronald Reagan, that he would speak like Reagan and be a gentleman and so on and so forth. Well, remember that so much of what you've been told about Trump isn't remotely true. And the same goes for Joe Biden and Democrats. But there you have something that is remarkable about Donald Trump, who is running for president. And, you know, the other thing that I think I want to point out before moving on here shortly is that with Joe Biden, you seem to have a person, of course, that is desperately running for president. And Trump seems to be very effortlessly behaving like the president of the United States. This isn't the first time. You can go back to East Palestine, Ohio, with that train disaster and the chemical spill. Joe Biden didn't show up, but Donald Trump did to comfort the American citizen. And you have to wonder, and I know many of you are asking this question, as you should be asking this question. You have to wonder, right? Why is Biden running for president when he so clearly has no desire to actually be president, to show up for the American people, to fulfill his duties? Why is he running? So again, it's easy to select who you'd vote for. I would probably suggest voting for the guy who genuinely wants to be president, not the guy who spends the entire presidency on vacation and running from the American people he claims to be representing. But it's probably better that Joe Biden didn't go to this funeral, by the way. And we know the type of funeral that Joe Biden does like to attend. he likes to attend, you know, the funerals and eulogize them, as a matter of fact, those funerals of dead Klansmen. That's the reality for Joe Biden. He prefers the Klansmen funeral, as he did with Robert Byrd many years ago. And of course, cue up cut one. It would have been very embarrassing for Joe Biden had he shown up, because he likely wouldn't have known that Jonathan Diller was even dead. Play cut one. Where's Jackie?
I want to thank all of you here, for including bipartisan elected officials like Representative Governor, Senator Braun, Senator Booker, Representative Jackie. Are you here? Where's Jackie? I didn't think she was going to be here.
So, if you missed it, that was Joe Biden not too long ago while he was president calling on Jackie Walorski to show herself and come up and raise her hand, even though just days before he had actually given public comments about the fact that Jackie Walorski, a Indiana Republican congresswoman, had died tragically in a car. But Joe Biden days later, Jackie, are you here? No, Joe. She passed away. Remember when you acknowledged that and talked about it a few days ago? Of course not. So it's probably for the best that Joe Biden didn't show up. Let's just allow him to continue showing up to eulogize dead Klansmen. That's more up his alley. But we're going to take a short break here. And when we get back, we're going to get into much, much, much more and answer the question. This question, the important question, which is, if Joe Biden's so darn popular, why isn't he? We'll be back after this.
We've learned through the pandemic, we can never be caught unprepared again. And so many Americans, when COVID hit, they had nothing in the house. Stores were shut down and doctor's offices were shut down. And even if doctors prescribed drugs, hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, pharmacists wouldn't fill the prescriptions. That was a nightmare.
Now the situation is much worse. We have these horrible supply chain problems. In our emergency medical kit at the wellness company, we have 8 prescription drugs that are all potentially life-saving.
Most people died with COVID. They died in the hospital because they didn't receive early treatment.
Every American family should have one of these.
I can tell you the wellness company kit is the answer.
My story started with alcohol, and I had tried going to other treatments, and all I did was think about how I was not going to drink or how I was going to drink one more day and then stop the next day. And Katie had found a treatment. I thought it was kind of hokey.
I could see a couple days into it, it's like the light bulb went on with him.
It's an IV infusion of all natural NAD. It saved my life and my family.
We've been where you sit.
The hardest part of this is making that phone call and just coming and talk to us.
Well, you might recall Joe Biden telling you, as he likes to do, and the Democrat Party and the media like to do as well, that Joe Biden is the most popular president in American history. He got 81 million votes in 2020. That's more than Barack Obama at his height, who got 69 million votes in 2008. And in 2016, Hillary Clinton, despite losing to Donald Trump, she got 66 million votes almost. So Joe Biden is the most popular president in American history with 81 million votes. And yet, the most popular president in American history cannot get a publisher to publish a book about his presidency because there is a lack of demand. How about that? So Simon & Schuster recently backed out of a book about Biden due to a lack of interest. The author of this book is now looking for another publisher to pick up this project. But what does that tell you? I mean, have you heard of such a thing? That the most popular president in American history, well, capitalism strikes again, I suppose, because Simon & Schuster says no one's buying books about Joe Biden and nobody will buy this book. And so we're not going to waste our money on this project. And more importantly, you have Barack Obama, Barack Obama has, of course, announced that he is going to tirelessly work to get Joe Biden elected. Why is Barack Obama, why does he have to help Joe Biden get reelected when Joe Biden is obviously even more popular than Barack Obama? That's what we're told. Of course, there's no evidence of that, and it leaves you to wonder, did Joe Biden really get 81 million votes in 2020? Because reality seems to show that that support is missing. But I'll just read a little bit from this for you, this headline. This is from the Daily Caller. Obama reportedly has grave concern. Biden will lose to Trump. Feels need to intervene. Now, a couple of things here. Now, firstly, this obsession by Barack Obama to get Joe Biden reelected, it's not about saving democracy. It's about saving Barack Obama. We know that Barack Obama is the puppet master that is operating the meat puppet Joe Biden in the White House. As a matter of fact, this article goes on to point out things that we all know. Former President Barack Obama has grave concern that President Joe Biden will lose to former President Donald Trump in November. How could he lose to Donald Trump? He trounced Donald Trump in 2020, right? That's what we're told. How could he possibly lose now, especially given how popular he is, how great his policies are, how great the American people are doing, how wonderful the economy is, our national security, all of it's so good, they tell us. So what concern could there possibly be? Why doesn't Joe Biden just simply run on his record if it's so good, like they tell us every single day? Well, with just over 7 months until the presidential election, Biden has been making regular calls to Obama in an effort to discuss the 2024 race for the White House. Have you ever heard of such a thing? Joe Biden, we are told, by the way, is an elite politician. He's been in politics his whole life. He's so smart. He's vigorous, they tell us. His mind is sharp as a tack. And yet this guy needs to call on Barack Obama to tell him how to run his campaign? This guy's been in politics since before Barack Obama was even born, effectively. But also, don't worry, it's not just Joe Biden that's reaching out. Obama, though, is reportedly making calls of his own to Biden's chief of staff, Jeff Zients, and other top aides to discuss strategy. So Obama is prepared to eke it out to help Biden in what some are expecting to be a close election. Now, what advice could Barack Obama possibly be giving Joe Biden? Joe Biden shows a complete unwillingness to change his policies, to pass legislation that would actually improve the economy, secure the border. He refuses to alter course in terms of creating a dumpster fire around the world. And short of that, what advice can you possibly give? Now, we know what they're going to do. You know, they're going to bring up the abortion stuff. They're going to try and do this. But I'm just telling you, honestly, right now, you heard it on the Drew Allen Show. There is no way, zero chance, zero possibility that Joe Biden can win in 2024 without cheating. It's an impossibility. An impossibility. And to prove my point, I'll play some different clips and show you a few polls here. But go ahead and cue up cut four. This is Maria Cardona on CNN. I want to show you just how out of touch, how imbecilic, how foolish, and how delusional the Democrats are in this country. Go ahead and play her on CNN.
Having President Clinton there, President Obama there, and now President Biden there, they're going to have a very potent reminder and underscoring how the Democratic agenda writ large has won in the last 7 of the 8 presidential elections, the popular vote, how popular the Democratic agenda is, and how moving forward, this coming election will be an existential threat to the expansion of the economy, which we saw under all 3 presidents, the expansion of rights and freedoms, which we saw under all 3 presidents, and what the election of Donald Trump would do in terms of destroying all of the above. And first and foremost would be the protection of our democracy.
Well, there you have it. The protection of our democracy. Don't you know? Look, I mean, this is it. Things cannot get better, Americans. unless you reelect Joe Biden. He's doing such a good job and things are going so well that they can't possibly get better. It's insane. It's like things have never been worse. And he's been president for nearly 4 years. And they tell you, you know, the Democrat agenda is a winning agenda. Let me ask you this. Is this a winning agenda? New York City begins giving illegal immigrants prepaid debit cards as part of $53 million pilot program. Now, $53 million pilot program, that means they're not paying all of these people yet. This is a pilot program. They're just trying it to get it smoothed out, get the kinks out, make sure they can give away your money and my money as quickly and easily as possible to criminals who don't belong here, who violated our immigration laws by, storming across the border, invited, of course, by the Biden administration. But I just want you to listen to this. So these are the Democrat policies. Yes, they're helping you. This is helping you. Let me tell you how. Officials in New York City have begun giving out prepaid debit cards to illegal families residing in the Big Apple. The first batch of debit cards, which are reportedly meant to be used by the illegal immigrants to purchase food and baby supplies, were handed out Monday to a handful of migrant families in the city. So, this program, which the mayor's office confirmed will provide these families of four with two children under five with up to $350 each week until the end of their stay. You know, it's amazing because, you know, in 2020 we had COVID and we had prepaid, you had these debit cards going out. Now there's no COVID emergency they're using, but they're going to use, illegal immigration here. Now they're going to give these people these debit cards and give our money away. I mean, it's never ending. And of course, inflation was caused a direct result of this absurd spending by the federal government. Now, these cards are being distributed at the city's arrival center, the Roosevelt Hotel in Manhattan. That's right. They've got it all figured out, all the kinks. You illegals, you just get across the border into Texas or whatever, and we'll fly you up to New York. We'll make sure you report to the Roosevelt Hotel. If you're an American citizen looking to vacation in New York, the Roosevelt Hotel is off limits. It's being used for illegals to house them. That's right. So, you know, basically the things I want to get into here, this article points out a couple of important things. Under this pilot program, which is going to last for 6 weeks right now, they could receive more money from the city than the state gives to low-income and elderly New Yorkers under SNAP benefits. Now, I'm no fan of welfare. It needs to be reformed. But the idea that you're going to then give illegal immigrants more monetary compensation than even the Americans that are on welfare in the United States of America should outrage every American citizen. So how can a president win that is prioritizing illegals over those very citizens that he depends upon to reelect him, which would be, many of them, welfare recipients? Because we know the Democrats love to use welfare like slavery. Social Security, too. Oh, the Republicans are going to take away everything, all of your money, old people, if you don't. So predictable. But here's where it gets good. New York City's government has projected it will spend at least $10.6 billion on illegals by the summer of 2025. New York State has already vowed to contribute about $2 billion in the current budget cycle. But Mayor Adams told lawmakers that the state pledge, $2 billion, would only cover one-third of the illegals' costs. There's no money, as it is, to fund this. We're already falling short. And yet they are rolling this out, pledging to do it no matter what. To hell with the New York resident, to hell with the American taxpayer, to hell with the American citizen. This is the motto of the Democrat Party. Now, why is this happening? Why is this happening? I'll get to that in just a moment. But go ahead and cue up cut five, actually, because I want to point something else out. As you just heard on that clip not long ago, she talks about how the Maria, whatever her name is, Cordova, talks about how wonderful and popular Democrat policies are. Well, this is a gathering of black Democrat mayors And they were there to discuss crime and pollution. And in this news clip, you'll hear Tashana Jones, the St. Louis mayor, talk about her solution for solving crime. Go ahead and play that cut.
And leaders from Jackson, Mississippi, Los Angeles, Washington, D.C., Atlanta, Durham, St. Louis, and more meeting Wednesday and Thursday to talk crime and solutions. St. Louis Mayor Tashara Jones says she's taking back strategies used in Atlanta for nightclub owners and eyeing ways to reduce crimes around convenience stores.
We have a lot of violence around convenience stores and gas stations, so how can we hold those business owners accountable and also bring down crime? And then some of the things that we're already doing, we're finding that other mayors are doing as well.
Discussions with the Council on Criminal Justice and chats between leaders were closed to the public and media.
Well, there you have it. You know, everybody is Kamala Harris these days in the Democrat Party. And by that, I mean they are the czar of this and that, desperately searching in vain for a solution to the problems they've created. They just cannot find them. There they are, meeting to discuss crime and pollution. And the St. Louis mayor there, what is her solution? Well, she doesn't have a solution, but the one solution she, I guess, attempts to present is that it's, of course, the business owner's fault. That's right. That's right. If your gas station is being robbed, if cars are being hijacked from parked outside the pumps at the gas station, well, that's the business owner's fault. That's right. It's the American citizen's fault. It's the business owner's fault that there is crime in America. It could be the policies of the Democrat Party. They will not be held accountable. It is not their fault. It is, of course, the business owner. Don't you know? You just got robbed last night. Well, that's your fault. But also, we're going to disarm you because we don't want you to be able to defend yourself. We've got that covered while we defund the police. These people are absolutely, clinically insane. This is indeed Biden's America, and it is being burnt to the ground. So again, you have to wonder, how can Joe Biden win in such an environment? Cue up cut six here. So you heard the delusion by the Democrat on CNN talking about how wonderful the Democrat policies have been in this country, how popular they are, of course, how effective they are at doing one thing only, and that's destroying the country. But here is Fox News with a dose of reality.
And when asked about the Biden administration's top accomplishments, new Fox polls show nothing was the big winner, as you can see on the screen ahead of you. What's interesting to me is that 38% said nothing, that he hadn't done anything that had helped them in any material way. And many people say, as a matter of fact, if he had done nothing at all, I mean, really done nothing and not reversed some of the Trump policies, we'd be in a better state than we are today. Take a look at this. When we talk about what he did immediately when he came into office, he revoked the permit for the Keystone XL pipeline. He did other things by suspending new oil and natural gas leases. He rejoined the Paris Climate Accord, halted border wall construction, which has been a massive problem, and ended Remain in Mexico. Then he reinstituted that $235 million for the UNRWA, relaxing sanctions on Iran oil sales, releasing billions in sanctioned funds to Iran. He has put us in a whole mess of trouble, and voters are really aware of that.
Doesn't sound so good, does it? And she's exactly right pointing out that if Joe Biden had done nothing, we would have been better off. Not just better off, we would have been doing quite well, to be honest. And of course, the problem in America is that the government is the problem, not the solution. And so every time the government interferes and tries to fix anything, they're going to destroy something. And of course, with the Democrat Party, it's intentional. It's by design. And so what we need is we need politicians, we need the government to admit that they're too involved in our lives, that they need to back the heck up, leave us alone, because we can do just fine on our own without them stealing our money and making things more difficult for us in terms of living our lives, making decisions, and so on and so forth. And I hope you're getting the picture here, too. I've said this many times, but it's a Drew Allen quote, I suppose, but it is that we are being ruled by our inferiors. Now, perfect example here about Democrat policies and their impact, and, of course, the reality that all these people making these decisions have no experience whatsoever. They are ignorant people who have no life experience. They're ideologues, and they're fools. So California has implemented a $20 an hour minimum wage. And it's going into effect on April 1st. And already the impacts of this are being felt. Now, in one example, you have Michael Ojeda. He's been a food delivery employee for a Pizza Hut in Ontario, California. And he's done this for 8 years. And in December, the 29-year-old received a letter from the Pizza Hut franchise that informed him that his employment was being terminated in February. Why would this happen? Well, it's because of the Democrat policies in California that raised the minimum wage to $20 an hour. So Ojeda is one of thousands of casualties, of course, of the California law. And this law raised the minimum wage for fast food workers to $20 an hour for all restaurant chains that have at least 60 locations nationally. And now, Democrats care nothing of reality. And of course, this is another perfect example of their policies harming the very people they claim to be helping. You have got to stop voting for Democrats. And of course, it goes without saying, I think, in this day and age, that Republicans are not perfect. There are problems in the Republican Party, too. But in terms of ideology regarding the economy and free trade and so on and so forth, they are superior ideas to what the Democrat Party has to offer. And so here you have real-world implementation of this talking point by Democrats that we have to raise the minimum wage, have a living minimum wage, which, why make it $20 an hour? Why not make it $40 an hour, $60 an hour? Why not compel all businesses in America to pay every single person that works for them a minimum of $100,000 a year? It doesn't work, and it results in this. And by the way, if you are a Democrat out there and you're starting to wake up and realize things like this actually hurt Americans, get them fired, cause them to lose their jobs, well, you can apply what they're doing with this minimum wage crap to taxes. We've got to tax the rich. We've got to make the rich pay their fair share. We've got to go after these greedy corporations and raise the corporate tax rate. Well, what happens when you raise the corporate tax rate? What happens when you punish businesses? You know, this $20 minimum wage hike on businesses is no different than a tax increase on businesses. You are making the business incur additional costs. So what does the business do? They respond by firing Michael Ojeda, getting rid of jobs, because they're not going to pay what the government's telling them they have to pay. It's based on the free market. So, you know, I mean, it's remarkable too, because it's a lot of money. When you talk about $5, you know, from $15 to $20, and, you know, there's no such thing as a free lunch. And the California lawmakers proved it in this instance, and you get what you vote for. So restaurant franchises like Chipotle, Jack in the Box, McDonald's, they've announced they'll be jacking up prices to cover increased labor costs. Well, there you go. Who did this help? Did this help the other Americans out there that are struggling? Because let's be honest, for the most part, who eats fast food? Who eats fast food? And why do people eat fast food? Do they eat it because it's the most delicious meal they've ever had in their lives? They just crave that, you know, quarter pounder from McDonald's? Not necessarily. They do it because it's supposed to be affordable. They have limited budgets. They're cash strapped. And so they're trying to feed their families. And these fast food restaurants, of course, have found a way to offer cheap food options compared to other options out there. And so now they're going to raise their prices. And the people that are eating at these fast food restaurants, say what you will about the health. You know, I'm not talking about the health concerns and so on and so forth. I'm just saying somebody's trying to feed their family. If you're depending upon McDonald's to get the job done and they raise prices, well, now you're hurting that family. Nobody wins with government intervention like this. Nobody wins. Michael Ojeda, the employee, didn't win. He lost his job. So was Michael Ojeda better making $15 an hour? and being employed and feeding his family? Or is he now better off because Democrats have said he should get $20 an hour and now he has no job and no income whatsoever? This is the Democrats' America. I'm just stunned by this. Totally stunned by this. Something weird is happening to me. I don't know if weird's the right word. I've been speculating for a while, correctly, I might add, observing that the American citizen had become numb to the things happening in this country. And it's a natural instinct, I think a survival instinct. You turn numb in order to cope with all of the negativity out there. And of course, under this administration, less than 4 years, we've had nothing but negativity. I mean, we had negativity before that with Donald Trump in terms of the media telling us that we had it so bad when we had it so good. Now they tell us, of course, we have it so good and we've never had it better, even though we've never had it worse. But in order to cope, we sit here and we just kind of freeze up. We don't feel anything. I'm having this kind of reawakening of my own soul right now, to be honest. And I am not feeling numb to anything. And in fact, I'm feeling hypersensitive to all of this. And I'm feeling all these emotions. I am not numb anymore. I am feeling all of the emotions, sadness and grief. I'm feeling sick to my stomach. I feel anger as well at what's happening to this country and to my fellow American citizens. And so when I read about Michael Ojeda, I picture somebody in my head. I really do. I really do. This isn't just some statistic out there, Michael. This is a guy. All I need to know about him, he's got a family. Do you have a family? Yes, I have a family. Imagine losing your job because the Democrat passed a policy that was supposed to help you. But I hope Michael Ojeda is mad. I hope that he is upset about this. I hope he is bitter. And I hope he does something in 2024 to change the course of history and to rebel against the Democrat Party if he didn't already do so. You know, when I hear about these police officers that are out there putting their lives on the line for American citizens to protect us, even while the Democrat Party treats them like garbage, like the worst thing in this country, calls them all racists and murderers. And you have this family who now doesn't have a father in New York, and he's one of many. His one-year-old son is going to grow up without a dad. His dad was stolen from him. A husband was stolen from that woman. And Joe Biden, he could care less. He's got his sunglasses on in Midtown Manhattan, watching Lizzo stomp around on stage, hanging out with Barack Obama and Bill Clinton. Criminals. Criminals. And this country is being run by criminals. And they're all over the place. They're all over the place. And the American citizen has been completely forgotten. Ignored. But not really ignored. We've been abused. That's what's going on. Now, let's just recall what we've been through so far. Joe Biden is clearly not the most popular president in American history. But supposedly Obama's very concerned. He wants his fourth term, so he's going to do everything he can. He's advising Joe Biden on how he can win. Now, if you are Joe Biden and the country hates you and there's no chance you could possibly win, what are some things you could do to try and persuade the Americans, persuade voters to actually give you another chance? Well, one thing you might do is change course, right? You might look at, okay, well, the economy and inflation, those are problems for the American citizen. Well, we know how to fix that and address that because Ronald Reagan did so in the past. We've done this before. And it is to remove red tape. It's to lower taxes. It's to put money in the hands of the American citizen and give them the ability and encourage them to start businesses, to create new wealth and new jobs. But he's not doing any of that. His proposal is to attack businesses more, to take more money out of our pockets. Now, obviously, the American people have an issue with the illegal invasion at the border. Americans have a problem with the fact that in their own cities, with Democrats they voted into office, their tax dollars are being given to illegals. Their schools are being filled with illegals. They are being replaced by illegals. That's the reality. So how might Joe Biden address this? Well, he could secure the border immediately. He could send a loud, clear message. You're not wanted here. You're not welcome here. You committed crimes. And he could prioritize the American citizen. But he's not doing that. So you have to ask yourself, how is Joe Biden going to win in 2024 when he's doing nothing to persuade Americans who aren't going to vote for him to vote for him? Well, if Americans aren't going to vote for Joe Biden, and he's not making an effort to convince them to vote for him, well, you might then think about having someone else vote for you. So what might you do in this situation? Well, one thing you might do is open up the border and allow 10 million plus illegals in here and get them to vote in 2024. Folks, this is where it's going. It's happening in front of our faces right now, right here. And this is the plan for 2024. Joe Biden isn't making much of an effort because they have another plan in place. Joe Biden's not trying to convince the American citizen to vote for him. Yeah, the propaganda is going to continue to be out there. They're going to continue to tell you that, you know, your cheeseburger wasn't, you know, $15 when you have a receipt to look at that says it was. But this is where it's going. Now, the RNC, hopefully it's not too little too late. They are making moves to address some of this. Now, the RNC has filed an election integrity lawsuit against the Michigan Secretary of State over absentee voting rules. So you have the Secretary of State in Michigan, Jocelyn Benson, who was covertly trying to evade the state's absentee voting protections. Now, absentee voting itself, the unsolicited mail-in ballots that are being sent out, is a problem in itself. But even on top of that, the Michigan Secretary of State is ordering election officials not even to verify the signatures on the ballot. And by the way, before I even explain this, as a practical matter, nobody is checking the signature on a ballot. They're not going into the computer system, every single ballot. You've got 5 million ballots to count. You are not looking at every signature. And also, who's to say, okay, well, I don't know. I mean, at the end of the day, when you're doing signature verification, unless it's like a different name written on the ballot, I guarantee you, nobody's going to sit there and say, well, we're going to kick this one out because it doesn't look quite like, I mean, you know, it's subjective is my point at the end of the day. And honestly, my signature does not always look the same. It looks different. Sometimes I sign it a little bit differently. But nonetheless, that aside, what she ordered election officials to do in Michigan here was to use speculation. Speculation, right? So Michigan's constitution requires election officials to verify absentee ballot voter signatures by looking at their signatures on their registration records. If the signatures don't match, election officials have to notify the voter and give them enough time to correct the issue before their vote can be counted. But Jocelyn Benson didn't do that. She said, use speculation. Just make the decision yourself. And what she's saying is, just count it. So this is where we are in America. And by the way, illegals are the COVID of 2020. Nobody should be fearful of saying this. It's so obvious. It's so obvious what's happening. It's unignorable. So all you have to do is get these illegals on the voter rolls. It's not that hard. Motor voter, for example, will do it. So you get these illegals, you bring them to Philadelphia, you bring them to Michigan. Democrats organize all of this. We see them being flown around the country by the Biden administration, you know, at our expense. And they show up with their address at the city center, wherever the Democrats want to meet and greet. And that's where they give them their little introduction to what their purpose is going to be in 2024. Now, one of the challenges you have if these illegals come over here, you've got to make sure they stay here. You got to keep them here. And so you have cities like New York who do what? Okay, well, we'll pay for you. We'll house you. We'll clothe you. We'll feed you. Just stay in America. Stick around. 2024 November is not that far away. But all you need with a mail-in ballot cheating scheme to happen is you need live ballots. What is a live ballot? Well, it's just a name that's on the list. So if you have voter, you know, your voter list, right? You've heard all these stories. They never get cleaned. So you've got all these dead people, people that moved on this voter list. Well, those people still receive ballots, mail-in ballots. So when you add 10 million people to the voter roll list, because remember, you're automatically registered to vote in some states. Democrat states are pushing this, right? Some already have it. You're automatically registered to vote when you get your ID, your driver's license. But a driver's license does not prove citizenship at all. And Democrats know this, of course. And so they're not going to check proof of citizenship either when you vote. Mail-in ballots are going to go out to anybody on the voter rolls. So once you're registered and get your ID, when you're an illegal, you're going to be suddenly a live ballot. Somebody that can either vote or be voted for. It doesn't matter. Because at the end of the day, all you need is a ballot. Because you need numbers. So you just need to show that there are 10 million more people on the voter rolls. And nobody can dispute it. This is where this is going. So illegals are the COVID of 2024 in terms of the Democrat scheme. I'm telling you this. You're going to hear it. People are going to be talking about this. They've talked about it a little bit. But just wait. It's coming. And let's just hope that the Republicans aren't doing too little too late. We're going to take a short break here, and then we'll be right back.
Joining me at the news desk now is Rebecca Walzer of WalzerWealth.com. She has been a regular guest on my TV show, Brennan House Live, for a long time. She's not just an economics expert, but she's an attorney. Rebecca, you have a large firm. How many people work for your firm?
Just about 30, yes.
30. And yes. Tell me, how can people prepare for what's coming with the end of the dollar as we know it?
The end of the fiat system, as we know it globally. We are moving to hard asset-backed currencies again, thank the Lord, because fiat is where we get into all the problems. When you have debt-based currency, you have debt-based problems. And the United States, unfortunately, since 2020, has not stopped spending at pandemic levels. This is systemic, and it is unsustainable, and it is coming to an end, especially with the addition of Saudi Arabia and the UAE to the BRICS nations. This is what controls our petrodollar. This is the threat immediately in 2024.
For more information, WalzerWealth.com. WalzerWealth.com. She is not your traditional financial planner. Find out why at WalzerWealth.com.
Well, look, Easter is upon us. And I have no shame about my faith. I'll wear it on my sleeve. But there's a bigger point to all of this, of course. You know, people say many things about the United States of America, our founding, our history, our relationship to religion in this country, separation of church and state, which, of course, appears nowhere in our founding documents. It's made up. It's something that was said in the past, but has no correlation to actually our documents. You know, I am feeling actually invigorated and uplifted right now, despite the challenges in this country. And I'll be level with you. For the past couple of weeks, I have been feeling honestly immensely depressed. Now, not like clinical depression, I don't think. Not clinical depression, just depression like people get out there. Things are hard. Things are difficult. You get in a mindset that's very negative, and it kind of spirals. It's a vicious cycle. Woe is me. Victimhood strikes you, and you just feel very, very down. And you focus on those things that are negative and not positive. I have a wonderful life. I have a wonderful wife. I have a daughter who is 1 year old today. The greatest blessing I've ever experienced in my life. I've never felt love like this before. I have a roof over my head. I have friends, and I have health, most importantly. Because believe me, right now, I know, and I'm praying for people that have spouses who are dealing with cancer right now, people who have lost their jobs. There are real tragedies out there. People in Baltimore who may have lost their loved ones in the tragic bridge accident. So, you know, I'm not sitting here like Joe Biden comparing circumstances. Well, I didn't. But there is much to observe out there and feel. We are getting pinched right now in this economy and so on and so forth. things are very bleak in the United States of America under this current leadership. And so it's easy to get down. And the only thing that got me out of, really, honestly, I was in a bad mood. You know, it was not good. The only thing that was able to help me fight and get out of that was working. And I know there are many Christians out there, or many people who are spiritual, who are at least open to the idea right now of faith and Christianity, because it's Easter time. And at certain periods of the year, people seem to gravitate towards God more. And that's where I found my escape, if you will, and my resurgence. It was in the Bible. And I went around for reading just a short passage I wanted to, what George Washington said in his farewell address that would serve our nation well now and in the future, of course. And that is, he said, of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. I'm not a preacher. I'm not even that great of a Christian. I am an imperfect human being who is doing his best to make himself useful, to make himself a benefit to those around him, who's trying to do better. And George Washington, who was a great, our first president, said it in his farewell address as he advised our nation, that of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are an indispensable support. So anybody who tells you that the founding fathers wanted nothing to do with faith, that they wanted separation of church and state, that God had no place in this country, is lying to you. That's what communists say, because they want you to worship the state. And God and faith, whatever your God is, but in this case, America is a majority Christian nation, that is a bulwark to tyranny. Okay, because the communists don't want to compete with God, and they can't compete with God, and so they try and destroy God and eradicate him from the culture. Because those morals, those values, those truths that we observe from the Bible and from faith, from God, aka our unalienable rights, are derived from our Creator, not from man. Well, that's why they have to eradicate religion. Because it is, in fact, religion and faith and spirituality and the Bible itself that created this country and gives us our freedom, that exclaims that we are the master and those in government are our servants, that we are not subservient to them. We are not their slaves. We are not to be abused by them. We don't answer to them. And so there you have George Washington, his farewell address to the nation, telling us that religion and morality are indispensable to our political prosperity. And look, you know, there are a lot of people out there right now that are trying to take advantage of crisis, that are trying to take advantage and exploit you and me. And I don't need to name names. You just need to be aware of this. It's not just Democrats who do it. It's people who present themselves as our allies and our friends as well. And they're self-serving, but they're, of course, presenting themselves as your savior. You do not have a savior but above. Jesus Christ is the only savior. And 1 Peter 1:3-4, I just want to read this with you because it's Easter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. You know, Christianity is a superpower. If you can actually accept the message of the Bible and of Jesus, the Christian, the man and woman of real, genuine faith is quite the formidable force. Quite the formidable force, because if you believe that you're saved, if you believe that this life is not it, it eradicates much fear. It emboldens us to deal truthfully with our enemies, and it gives us a compass that will lead us and keep us on the path of righteousness. And the path of righteousness I'm talking about is simply the one that many of us are familiar with in this country, about how we treat one another, about our unity, because we are all American citizens. And forget Democrats and Republicans. We are all suffering together or benefiting together. We are one nation under God, if you will. And where we need to move is past a message of factionalism, because it's objective, for example, the illegal immigration problem in this country. That's not a Democrat or Republican issue, and it's an American issue. These illegals have no right to be here. The only purpose of immigration is to improve America, not to help anybody else or take, you know, the rapists and so on and so forth off the hands of other foreign countries. It doesn't matter, even if somebody's poor coming here. We have our own poor to deal with. And so we need to look at each other as brothers and sisters. We need to remember who we are, and we need to look to God. We need to look to a higher power. We need to look to something beyond man to keep us on course. So beware of people that want to mislead you and exploit you right now, that will fill you full of false hope and lies and so on and so forth. All right. Well, this is Drew Allen. Thank you for tuning in. And until next Saturday.